been preaching from besides the Bible?
The book of Ephesians. We finished chapter 4. We're in chapter 5. All right, so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll continue on tonight. These Wednesday nights, if you haven't noticed, we've been trying to sort of get started. So I'd encourage you to get here at 7:30 so we can get started and get you home. Get your kids to bed. Those that have their kids at their Christian school have no reason not to bring their kids. We don't give hardly any homework on Wednesday nights. So I hope they don't keep them home and get them to bed. I'd rather get them spiritually fed and souped up a little bit that way than to keep them in an extra 15 minutes early or something like that. I'm glad you're here tonight. Hope that your heart out of your mouth. that leads to you speaking mean, and you put away all malice, all evil thoughts toward people. You bury them, give them to God. You don't have any rights to them. Put them away from you. Why? Because the verse before, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Then he says in verse 32, this is what we should be. Be kind one to another. Tend giving one another. That's the opposite of bitterness and anger, isn't it? This is what we are to do. One thing that occurred to me as I got done preaching last week, sometimes you want to walk back up and say something else. And think, maybe, God doesn't tell us to do something we can't do. So if God says, put this off and put this on, I can then put that off. I can stop being a unforgiving, bitter, angry, clamoring, malice-filled. Those things are possible for every person. It's a choice in your heart to follow the call of God. These issues in verses 30 and 31 and 32 are the subject of revival. We talk about revival. Get rid of the beer, get rid of the drugs, get rid of this stuff. I circled that word as in verse 1. I circled the word as in verse 2. About the seventh word is the word as. In verse 3, almost to the end, the third or fourth word from the end is as. Circled as. You've got an English person here. I won't ask for the comment. When you have an as, that is a comparison. As so-and-so. Similar to this, in like fashion to this. So, as a dear child would walk, he says, God's dear children, the word dear there is where the apple is. We need to act like God's children. When we act the other way, what's the implication? We're acting as Satan's children. Gentiles. Do we want to be known as Gentile, unsaved in spirit? Or do we want to be known as God's children? So, he says, let you followers of God as dear children, and here he describes a dear child's walk. First, walk in love. That's the motive. Use a big word. That's our modus. That's the way we conduct this. For loved ones. I go out, I'm just filled with God. Keep your finger down. Go over to 1 John chapter 4. You can't think much of the love of God. There's several passages, but I think this one nails it about as good as any. Look at verse chapter 4, 1 John. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For God is love. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You say you know God, then why aren't you acting? Because if God's in you and motivating you, out's going to pop out. If God's Holy Spirit is in charge of our way of acting, love will be a key sign. Is that convicting? Yes, it's convicting.
loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man that hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us the Spirit. We're going to talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, right? So if the Spirit's in us, the Spirit's God, what's going to be one of his key things? You already said, love, love. Every time I preach like this, I become a little different. They just pervert what love is. We are supposed to move people. Go on and just preach. Verse 18, that same passage. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, bitter, angry, and clamoring at his brother, why can't you? Man say, I love God, and hates his brother, is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him. I underline the word commandment. That sort of goes back over. Therefore, be ye followers. If we're following God, we'll follow his commandment. And this commandment have we of him, that he who loveth God is also supposed to what? Love his brother also. Wow. That's what God says. This is what, if we're followers of love, God who is love, then love will become a characteristic of us. If it's not, then God says, who are you following? That's what he's basically saying. Who are you following, and who are you imitating? It's not me, the Holy Spirit says. It's the old man. The old way of living. Bitterness, anger, malice. So back to Ephesians chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. This is where we sort of parked last week. Smelling savor. And we took a contrast between two words. We talked about the idea of grieving, and we talked about the idea of sweet smelling savor. The grieving has the idea that stinks. Do we stink in our modus operandi? Or are we just So we're looking at how to be a follower. We walk in love, first of all. Second of all, verse 3. These things in verse 3 were not supposed to be. Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness. Let it not be. Is that that we're a follower of God, we're supposed to walk a certain way. And if we're supposed to say, I'm a saint, I'm one of the saints, that's me, aren't you in? As becomes, or as is fitting to say of saints, every once in a while, this happened not too long ago, somebody came to join our church. As I met with this individual, they said they were living with somebody else. So, I still says, fornication, all uncleanness, the idea of uncleanness is sexual, filthy mindedness. Covetousness, that's just giving into anything, your desires or your flesh. They all have an immoral idea there. All fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, it's not even supposed to be mean. I get things all the time from CLA. We know what CLA is, Christian Law Association, by Dr. David Gibbs. His men have done a good job fighting where we used to have as a group of liberal ACLU, American Civil. They're the ones who are tearing down all the good laws. Then we have Dr. David Gibbs, who is God's man. They're fighting to try to go to court to protect our freedoms, and so I get things from CLA from time to time. These big things are always a matter of change. We may do this thing. We need to probably rewrite our Constitution. Because we wrote our Constitution in another century before with all the gays and all the things, and they have an agenda to take over. They've got a whole label. So they talk about the need to put in your Constitution. The moment somebody stands up and says, I am lesbian, I am homosexual, that at that moment their membership ceases, is suspended, and the rule of the vote changes. Think that's good or bad? No, it ought not to be so. We'd all say, right, of course. And that would stop it right there, and we could cite verses. We're going to say that about gay, but we're not going to talk about adultery. The moment that somebody is known in adultery, they should lose their privileges. Half the people in America have committed adultery. I wonder how many in church. Wrong preaching. That which is fittingly called a child of God, let these things not even be made in the church. Well, I just get crucified. Well, imagine if I was in KGB or someplace tonight. I think my phone would light up tonight. But I don't think I'm off the scripture. I don't think I'm off the scripture. I'm really kind. I look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 6 and chapter 7, and I see it high, lifted up, and I see Isaiah saying, holy, 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 I am a man of unclean lips. I'm not even worthy, and he falls flat on his face. There is a person ready to speak up.
sexual things. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 4 talks about the things coming out of your mouth. He's making sort of a comparison here where a person would say, of course you ought not to have adultery and fornication and all that stuff. But he says, all. He says, we ought not to be filthy in our talk. I wonder how many church members go to work somewhere and tell a dirty story. Is that sin any worse than this sin? Well, I believe it might be. I don't think it is. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. The idea of foolish talking here is talking is wickedness. It's unkind wickedness. Jesting. Joking about things and business joking. It's garbage talk. That's what goes back to chapter 4, verse 31. The whole bitterness and wrath and all. He's talking about where we live. We all can see the horrible sin, but how about the sin of our attitude? Verse 5, for this ye know. The idea of know there is you are already knowing. You have a perfect knowledge of it. This is something settled. It's no debate about it. For this ye know, no whoremonger, an unclean person, a covetous man, who is an idolater, an inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and God. Don't misunderstand that. He's just giving us the idea of which kind of person are we marrying. Are we marrying the unsaved, ungodly, or are we marrying that which is of God and may we conduct ourselves as saints? Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't let anybody, what you know, that sensitivity training kind of thing, what's true is wrong, and what's wrong is true. Let no man deceive you with empty platitudes and words. For because of these kind of attitudes and these actions, and churches that are filled with this kind of stuff, he's talking to the Christians, not the unsaved part of our nation. Let no man deceive you, for because of these things, they used to be these ways. They left those ways, but now they've turned back. Are you still acting like that? No, let's hold on. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers. I look at verse 1. Therefore followers, then I come down and I find in verse 7 another imperative. Be not partakers. He says, we have no business partaking. Call this prudish, call this too holy, call that just says there's something wrong with But now you are children. We are light in the Lord and walk as children. When you walk in the light, you know you can see and you understand. This congregation, I look across the room and I don't see a whole lot of brand new people here that don't know this Christians. We know what's right. We know where we should go and shouldn't. We know what we should say and shouldn't say. We know how we ought to treat each other, not treat. We know we ought to forgive and let go. Amen, amen, and amen. We are children of. To walk this way, and I thought it was perfectly fine, an eye for an eye, you know, get even, hit them below the bell. No. God has changed me. But somehow when that old flesh gets old, it's sort of like the children of Israel wanting to go back. For that reason, God had to deal with this. God is looking. Darkness world in our way of doing things. It's always come past. Can we just take a couple steps more and we'll get to it? Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness. That's the character of the fruit. We already know it's love. We already know the list of the Spirit over in the book of Galatians. But here we find the fruit of the Spirit is all in all goodness. The character of the fruit. There's nothing unhealthy. It's true righteousness. It's what is right, not sight. Take those three things, and the opposite say good, bad, righteousness, unrighteousness, truth is a lie. We don't operate somewhere in between. We don't operate in the gray area. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable to people around us. Proving what is acceptable in society. Proving what is acceptable among the majority. What's it say? If I'm the only one. That's right. The cost of everything. This is so opposite of how churches are. Is unashamedly, unabashedly look like the world, act like the world, conduct your entertainment like the world, and then God is to be pleased. Something's very wrong with that. Somebody has been talking a lot of vain words. And that's why it's so important, because this is something, even in our congregation, as small as it is, we fight when people come, they'll say, why don't you just get a little more? They don't say it that way. Why don't you just appeal more to the masses? I'm all for making every a pitch we can, reaching. But I don't think you have to sell the water down the river. And when we have to take on music that's ungodly, dress that's ungodly, behavior that's ungodly, put people in positions because they have money. I grew up into the ministry. Father, I pray that